All right.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to That Pixel Life. This is episode 42, and we're just going to say it's March 4th, whatever, 2019. You're listening to this in your own time. That's just it's a goal to get it out by then, but we'll see what happens. I am Zach Anderson, and with me is Shannon Moore.
Hello, how you doing?
Oh, I'm great. This is going to be an interesting episode because it is just the two of us.
Just the two of us.
We can make it if we try.
Just the two of us.
It was getting good there for a second. Yeah, I liked it.
That's my Aaron Neville impression.
Yeah, I was feeling it. Mr. Robbie Steltonpool had a pipe explode in his garage right before we recorded, so he is currently hip deep in water. And shout out Robbie, but man, sucks you aren't here, but sucks even worse where you are. So hey, you know, moving on. As someone that has had a hot water heater explode in my garage, that's just never fun. That's just never good times. So
mine
was overnight, so I woke up to a completely flooded garage. That was fun.
Nice.
Especially it was, I want to say, 3 weeks after we moved into this house. And
oh, that sucks.
So all of the cardboard boxes were still in the garage that we hadn't emptied yet.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Cardboard doesn't do too well in a bunch of standing water. Just, you know, just throwing that out there.
There are a lot of things that don't do well in standing water.
Yeah, me. One of them. Yeah.
Dude, just as a funny story now that we're talking about flooding basements, I was working at this car dealership probably back when I was in my early 20s. And on Sundays, all you had to do was answer the phones. Mm-hmm. So if you were in the office, you basically were by yourself in this like fishbowl of an office, and nobody came in to see if you're all right. Nobody checked on you. So I would occasionally put on headphones and listen to music, you know, and wait for the light to light up on the phone so I knew somebody was calling.
As one is wont to do when you're in your early 20s, you're like, job, I'll just listen to music.
Put your feet up. So, like, I'm sitting there, like, you know, listening to music, kind of just, like, not paying attention, and the water heater down the hall broke.
Oh, jeez.
And it just started, and it was, like, a huge, like, water heater, and it just started pouring water, like, gallons of water out, and I didn't know for, like, hours that it was broken. So like I actually took my feet off of the desk to get up and go to the bathroom, and I turned around and I was standing in probably like 6 inches of water.
Oh jeez.
And like it wasn't just like the office, it was like the whole office building was under 6 inches of water.
Oh man.
So yeah, I didn't last much longer at that job after that incident. But
They weren't too happy that you let it run for like an hour and a half.
You know? Dude, I couldn't tell you if it was an hour and a half or 3 hours. Like, oh, but yeah, there was a lot of water. A lot of records got erased that day.
Yeah, that's not too fun.
That's my water heater story.
Yeah, that's a good one. that's a good one though. I like that. Okay, so again, we are That Pixel Life, and you can follow us on Twitter at the Pixel Life, or at That Pixel Life handle. You can subscribe to us on YouTube to watch the unedited live streams, and why wouldn't you, really? I mean, geez, come on. Our Facebook group is where you can catch us chatting games mostly throughout the week. We always, different topics, different news subjects that come up, we throw a bunch of stuff around there, and it's a bunch of good people that have similar interests, so join us, won't you? We have a Patreon if you feel like helping us keep the show running, keep the lights on, all that fun stuff. You can check us out there, and you can find links to every frickin' podcast medium out there on our website. So if you use it, we can get it to you. Okay, so again, that we are now recording on Sundays, so we're shooting to get this out by Tuesday to just kind of catch everyone up. Mr. Josh Faulkner has left the show of his own accord. There was no bad blood of anything, just time and tide make fools of us all. And but he's still helping us on the back end, writing articles and doing all that fun stuff, and we really appreciate him for it. But other than that, we, now that it's essentially the three of us going forward, we have talked a lot internally, and we kind of want to broaden our our show out a little bit. The focus is still gaming because that's the thing all three of us singularly are very passionate about. But, you know, in the past, we've always kind of felt a need to stick to that, to stay in our lane, so to speak. And so, you know, movies would get mentioned, but not really, geek out on them, or like comics or TV shows, things of that nature. And we just kind of feel that we're leaving a lot on the table by doing that. So going forward, I know probably starting next week with all of us planning to see Captain Marvel, we're going to start expanding that a little bit, because I personally have an stupid amount of comic book knowledge rattling around in my dome. I know Shannon also has a lot of knowledge with that. We have, you know, Robbie, who's Mr. DC and all that fun stuff. And, you know, all of us are into different TV shows that we're really passionate about and properties. And, I mean, Robbie's probably going to kill me and Shannon at some point, but I can totally see us geeking out about like magic. Because, damn, me and Shannon have played some Magic in our days. The 20-gallon bin of cards I have sitting in my garage will attest to that. But, yeah, no, so it's just one of those things where I would like to kind of take the show in a different direction. And if people have things they want to hear us talk about, or different movies or subjects that we should kind of do deep dives on and figure out, you know, how we want to play that, I'm happy to hear it. So please let me know if you have any suggestions on how you think those conversations should go. I'd like to hear it. Anything you want to add to that, Shannon?
No, I think you hit the nail on the head. Okay. Broadening the horizons, and you know, just this is a growing and evolving podcast. So, you know, please, like, your feedback is appreciated. It's welcomed. You're not going to hurt our feelings. You know, just let us know what you guys want. I mean, this is a podcast for you guys as well as it is a hobby for us. So, you know, please, like, the feedback is welcomed and appreciated.
You can try to hurt my feelings, but you won't.
Dude, your heart is just an icy shell. That's all it is, dude. Like, nothing warms it. It's just
it's nice in the summertime. It keeps me cold.
You know,
it's cold-blooded. But it's funny you say this is an evolving podcast, because as we slip into our industry buzz here, mm-hmm. let's talk some evolution. Pokemon Sword, yes. Shield announced the proper Nintendo Switch game, not this Let's Go business that has all these Go mechanics into it. This is the, what, 8th generation? And they announced it with the trailer, and that showed some of the, you know, it showed like the old school, you're digging around in the weeds and things pop, you know, it didn't appear that have the Let's Go mechanic where things are visible and you see them on the screen and can go get them, which actually I kind of liked from Let's Go, mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie, but it seems to could be more of a return to form of the, you know, Pokemon Sun and Moon and Black and White and so on and so forth that. And it's the starters were shown. So you ready for this, Shannon? We got Grookey, which appears to be a grass monkey, that funky monkey, grass
monkey,
yeah.
The chunky monkey.
Yeah. Scorbunny, which Scrope I can.
Bunny?
Well, Scorbunny, which is actually not a Gwar character, as you would think, but no, the design of this is freaking adorable, and I can tell you right now will be my daughter's favorite, because mm-hmm. she's all about those rabbits, and that's a good one. And that's the fire starter, and then the water is Sobble, I'm going to go with, Sobble, mm-hmm. And it just kind of looks like a bunch of blobs put together with a fin on its head. I don't know.
Yeah, it looks like the cross between a tadpole and a chameleon.
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah. And like slime from was that Dragon? Wait.
Yeah, from Dragon Quest?
Yeah, like a blue slime from Dragon Quest. It's like a blue slime got busy with a chameleon. And
it is a hot mess.
Yeah. all I can say is I hope Sobble's evolutions look a lot cooler, because mm-hmm. damn. That's rough. That's a rough start. they're saying it's going to be late 2019, which everyone assumes it just means holiday 2019. And I'm pretty jazzed for it. I mean, it's one of those things, like, I'm secretly, well, probably not so secret anymore, but I'm a big Pokemon guy. I like Pokemon a lot.
You're out of the closet for Pokemon worship. It's okay.
Dude, I am. I've played these games, man. I've seen these regions. I've known some things. But, I'm kind of into it. Now, Shannon, you're more recent to Pokemon with the Go and Let's Go and all that. Now, what is your take on how the trailer played and how things looked?
I was all for it. I was super hyped. You know, the fact that they're going more to the 3D animation style was it made things look a lot better. Everything was more vibrant. It popped a lot more. Like, I liked the aesthetic that they were going for. You know, the hard thing is trying to come up with Pokemon that people are interested in, and it'll be interesting to see who the favorites are on this one. Cause I mean, I'll even say that, like, you know, after how many years, what, like 20 years this thing's been around, like Pokemon started. I would say finally it seems like the interest in Pikachu as a starter is kind of waning. It seems like, you know, they kind of need to find something to revitalize the series as far as the starter Pokemon. And, you know, I mean, Eevee was a good choice in the Pokemon Go, you know, Eevee or Pikachu, you know, I think... it'd be interesting to see what the sales were there on who bought, like, what as a starter. But, you know, I think 2 out of 3 starters in this one are like, good. Like, Grookey is pretty cool, and the rabbit one is pretty dope. Like, I think I'm probably going to go with the Scrote Bunny or a Score Bunny. but yeah, I think it's funny. I was reading up on some of these, and the Sobble, it looks like when he evolves, he's going to go away from a water type and go into a part ghost type evolution.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then he's going to have, like, because it says here his, maybe to go along with how bad we feel for this thing, that that this ghost is going to be often associated with sadness and grieving. Nice. So you already know from the get-go this thing's going to look pretty sad.
Well, I mean, that kind of, that goes along with the name of Sobble, you know, like, yeah. That makes sense. Then, yeah, but, I mean, you know, people are kind of losing their minds a little bit over I mean, it's the internet, so everyone has to have an opinion and react. Yeah. But it's like, I mean, they're not the worst starters I've ever seen. Like, you know, I mean, if we can just walk down memory lane a little bit, like, dude, Tepig, like, really? Like, come on. Black and white starters were the worst. Like, I'm sorry. You had Snivy, which was like the grass snake thing, Tepig, which was just like the dumbest fire starter ever. And then there was like an otter thing, like Oshawott.
Yeah, Oshawott. That thing was the most annoying Pokemon I have ever seen. Totally useless. Like, I just hated that thing.
And it was, and I'll be totally honest, like, Black and White, I was one of the few I didn't finish. Well, I had White, I want to say, but yeah, like, I never finished it. I kind of just hated that generation of Pokemon. Like, everything they came out with, I was just like, oh, that's stupid. Eh, that sucks. You know?
No, I think, when I was playing, Ruby, like, I liked the starting there with Treecko and Torchic. I didn't really like Mudkip, but,
But Mudkip turned into the biggest badass out of all of them, which was Swampert. Yeah. You know, and that was one of those things, like, when you figured out, like, oh, wait, Swampert rules, like, oh, damn it, I need to go trade someone for a Mudkip, because this thing kind of is rad. Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, I always stuck with Treecko. I mean, he was pretty cool, even though, like, a Torchic had, like, I think, aesthetically, like, the better, like, because I hate to say this, I'm always kind of like, it's always like a Barbie game to me, because, like, I'm always sitting there looking for, like, the one that looks the coolest.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, sure. I totally felt like I missed the boat on, like, Mudkip, but, like, Torchic, he always looked pretty badass, and then, like, Treecko towards the end, he looked pretty cool, but, like, he kind of went through a funky phase in the middle. But yeah, I mean, like, as far as, I mean, like, Ruby and Sapphire was pretty dope, but, like, I mean, the Pokemon Go aspect of it, too, was pretty cool. You know, just looking at the things that you could import, because, you know, you didn't have to just catch what was there. You could also bring some stuff in from your mobile app. And there are a couple cool Pokemon in there. I can't really... And, you know, you could even transfer the shiny ones in there and evolve them. So that was pretty cool, because, like, if you wanted a color variant of, you know, one of the Pokemon that were in the game, you could change it just by importing them. So, you know, that was pretty cool.
No, it'll be interesting to see how they play it, because the... I think the Pokemon that kind of are also in the game, like, that was the thing with Sun and Moon that I found really good, was, like, everything else they added, like, that generation of Pokemon were good designs. Like, there's, I mean, there's a few clunkers. I mean, there always is. But, like, you know, when you're adding 100-something Pokemon, you get, you're going to repeat yourself sometimes. You're going to come up with some real dumb crap. I mean, you know, Sun and Moon had one that was legitimately a sandcastle. Like, come on. Like, Pokemon's a fucking sandcastle? Really? Like, yeah, but, you know. I think that it's the game's going to kind of live and die on that. But I'm very happy with the... with just the... sorry, my computer is, like, freaking out. Like, my mouse is stuck, and I can't move. Which, yeah, kind of sucks. Sorry. But yeah, because of that, I'm like totally distracted. But yeah, no, I think that with the mechanics in the play that seem to be the old school style, I think that, you know, the starter design, with the exception of Sobble, looks, they look really solid. I like them, you know. I'm just kind of curious to see as we get closer to release, like, is this... how much of Let's Go is in this game? Because it seems like some of the catch mechanics could be Let's Go from the trailer. You know, it's kind of borderline. I'm not really sure. But, you know, and we'll see whatever cockamamie plot they come up with whatever, you know, legendary Pokemon thing that, you know, there's always something. But, yeah. But yeah, no, I'm on board. I'm on board with some Pokemons. I'm ready. I'm ready for a good one.
Yeah, I do like the fact that it's a new region. It does seem a little, on the rails, kind of, like, with the way that they've, like, laid out the map. Like, you kind of start at one side of the island, and you go towards the other side of the island. So, I mean, there's no real, you know, questing, it doesn't look like. It kind of looks like it's more of a linear game. But, you know, as long as, like, a lot of the RPG elements in there that keep, like, the fan base, or that the people that love this series so much going, I think, you know, it stands a pretty good chance of being a pretty popular seller. I'd also like to see them use the that Pokeball like a peripheral again in some way, shape, or form in the game.
Yeah, I mean, I was also a big fan of the Pokeball. Like, I think it's a great add-on. I really do. So it'll be interesting to see how all that gets rolled in. I mean, I hope they use it, because it is pretty. It's pretty neat. But I mean, I'm pretty stoked about it. I mean, I think it's going to be a solid game. I think that holiday 2019 is going to sell a lot of Switches. I think you're going to see a lot of Switches. And I think that also this game would probably coincide, play really well with them releasing the handheld only Switch that is very rumored.
So are those your predictions?
I think you're going to see the handheld only Switch launch side by side with this, and it wouldn't shock me if there's a special edition of it. It you know, all Nintendo's been known to do these things when it comes to Pokemon.
So come out with like three different types of amiibos for your
right,
Switch.
Right. They seem to have kind of given up on the amiibo thing.
I know. Right. Have they though? I mean, like, I'm not too keen on the amiibo market, but yeah. I mean, still see them on the shelves. So, I mean, are people still buying them?
But it's all like the ones that have been on the shelves for like years, right?
Maybe.
I mean, literally and literally and what's the other word? Damn it. What's the opposite of literally? Why am I blanking on this?
Hypothetically? I don't know.
I was like, lyrically and, or lyrically, what? Literally and physically? No, that's not it.
Oh, God. It's all right. Moving on.
Figuratively.
Well, it'll come, we'll
figuratively,
come back to it later.
Figuratively. And leave this all in. Don't edit any of this because I'm stumbling all over the goddamn place. But, you know, literally and figuratively, the same ones that have been on the shelves for years. You know, I think, I don't know if they're coming out with new ones, but it'd be a... But this would be the game I would definitely attach my dumbass toys to if I was Nintendo. You know, I mean, we all know my stance is no more stuff. I don't want more stuff in my house. I have too much stuff as it is. But yes.
But you can get one of those cute ass rabbits for your daughter, I bet you would buy it.
No, the game then becomes never let her know that exists. Yeah. Oh, can I have one of those? No, they don't make toys, but it's on the shelf. Yeah, that's just display. We can't buy that. Sorry. Okay, moving on. Man.
Oh, boy.
I'm staring behind me right now at a 4-foot... Wait, hold on. Let's see if I can get this on screen. See this fucking enormous stuffed dinosaur that's right there? Look at that thing. That thing is 4 feet tall. It's taller than my son, and an unnamed relative got it for him to be funny for Christmas. And I see this thing come out, and I'm like, oh, what? Because they showed it to him before they showed it to me, so now I'm stuck with it. Because if I would have seen it first, I'm like, you're returning that shit. I ain't coming to my house. But,
Man.
It put it out there right now in the universe. It takes up the whole bed. Look at that thing. Like
it does. That is giant. I thought it was a shark, actually, but now that I see it, it's a...
It is a Raptor Blue from Jurassic World.
Does it scream or do anything cool?
No, thankfully it makes no noise. Thankfully. it's just a very large stuffed animal. But oh, and Evelyn's got... stuffed Bingo and Rolly from Puppy Dog Pals, like, and they're like bowling ball sized things. It's like, why all this stuff? Stop with
the worst. The worst present you can get as a parent for your kid is a stuffed animal.
Yeah. And somehow we just get all of them. Like they all show up here. I don't know.
Oh,
well,
man.
Anyway, I'll stop my kvetching about, you know, my parenting problems, but let's talk about this Bay Area. So me and Shannon, if those of you don't know, born and raised in the San Francisco Bay Area, and we have seen a lot of gaming kind of history in our lives as we grew up in this area. You know, Atari was founded here. Sega of America was based out of San Francisco. Capcom was based out of the Silicon Valley. EA is here.
Sony is here.
Crystal Dynamics is here. I'm sure there's a million companies I'm forgetting, but my point is there's a lot of them here, and they've been here for a long time, and we've been fortunate enough to see a lot of this growth. And I used to work for Sony at one point. I know Shannon's had a couple opportunities along the way, and we both know people that work in the industry, you know, they're lifers and all that stuff. So it's been fun. And NBC is going to be airing a documentary based on Bay Area gaming and the influence of the culture and basically just the influence of game Bay Area has had on gaming at large. And they're going to be starting a Saturday night program airing fighting tournaments, which I find fascinating. Now, Saturday night is not it's not a prime time, you know, on the schedule for network television. It's usually the deadest night of the week outside of Saturday Night Live. It's one of those things where networks put shows to die. So it's interesting for me that NBC is taking a flyer on an esport base like fighting games have and trying to make a program out of that. Now, it'll be, am I wrong, Shannon, that this would be the first time that this will be on network TV and not something like ESPN or The Ocho or, you know, any of those type of things?
Yeah, I can't think of a time in in our area when they've actually put any type of video gaming on a non-cable, like a non-premium cable channel. So either it would be ESPN or it'd be NBC Sports or it'd be, you know, something like that. And then they would give it a time that was usually 11, 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So if you really wanted to watch video games, you know, usually by the time it was on, you were ready to go to bed. If you're my age, you're already in bed. Right. But yeah,
I mean, if you're my age, you've been asleep for 2 hours already. You know,
yeah, I know, right? But yeah, I mean, it's great to see a local channel give video games, you know, a chunk of time that's, you know, that it wouldn't otherwise have. Especially going into the documentary of the Bay Area and the significance that the Bay Area played in developing the market. Going all the way from Pong, like the first Pong machine to be put into a bar in San Jose, all the way up to the esports craze and the SAP Center holding, you know, video game tournaments and mm-hmm. doing their what?
I said, yeah, they did Overwatch tournament there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it'll go all the way up to that. And then I believe, you know, after Saturday Night Live airs in our area, they're going into the video game, the tournament for Street Fighter V. So so it'll be a good evening, and I hope people in the area watch it, and it gets high enough ratings for them to bring more of this material back mm-hmm. in a better primetime spot.
Yeah, or also just expand it beyond fighting games. I think there's a, you know, as Twitch and all these services have proven, you know, you can air Apex Legends, you can air Fortnite, you can air all this stuff, and people will watch it. You know, like, there's Overwatch. I mean, hell, like, there's a whole, you know, they're filling arenas, literally, to watch people play Overwatch. Like, you know, these are audiences that are relatively just untapped by major markets, and mm-hmm. or major media, I should say. And I think it's about time that someone tried it. You know, I know as ESPN has had their ups and downs with it, but they just can't seem to get the format right. You know, mm-hmm. the announce, like, the few times I've watched it, their announcers are pretty bad. You know, like, it's they seem to kind of have a rough time figuring it out, how to announce these games, and they don't want to do what, you know, the Twitch tournaments and stuff do, which seem to get it right. And it's like, mm-hmm. well, what, just take that playbook, they're doing it right already, just do that, you know. But mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see the tack they take on this, like, and if they're going to go full, like, Evo style announcers, or if they're going to try to do their own thing, or if it's going to be like, essentially, I guess the point I'm getting to is, are they going to assume that you know what Street Fighter is already?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, like,
yeah, you got to dumb it down enough to where the parent, I'm assuming, okay, let me, this mm-hmm. is my scenario where I think they would make a lot of money, or I think viewership mm-hmm. would increase, is if you had it in a late enough time for the younger video game players. I'm talking like younger kids, probably like 8 to like 11 or 12. Like, right when they're still able to stay up late enough on a Saturday night with their mm-hmm. parents, but at the same time, like, there's nothing on TV, so you're looking for something to play to keep your kids interested and bond with them at the same time. Yeah. You know, if this is their hobby and a parent wants to get into it, you need to make sure that it's basic enough for somebody who doesn't know anything about video games to get into the video game, like, commentating scene, or, like, mm-hmm. you know, to watch it on TV. But at the same time, it's fun enough to where, like, the youths that are going to be watching it with their parents are going to, like, want to, like, watch it and have that, like, bonding time. So I think, you know, if they can nail that balance, which I know can be hard, mm-hmm. Especially in such a fast-paced type of game like Street Fighter or like Overwatch, I think that they could actually come up with something that's pretty good for like a Saturday night, like, you know, prime time slot.
I agree with you. The thing that I worry about, though, is it, you know, like, people sit when they broadcast an NFL game, they don't sit there and tell you the rules. They assume you know how to play football, you know, mm-hmm. like, it's one of those things where I understand if it's like, okay, this is Street Fighter V. Now here's the rules of the tournament. But like, I don't explain to me what Street Fighter is, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And I think that's the thing where they need to kind of respect the audience they're going for a little bit. And it's one of those, like, are we dealing with 70-year-old dudes who have never played a video game in their life, but they're like, we're going to take control of this now. And, you know, or are we getting kids who are kids, you know, people in their 30s or younger running this show and have been playing video games all their life and are not worried about the people that don't, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Cause I think there is value there. What you were saying about, you know, bringing essentially onboarding the older generation into a new sport and a new thing. But I also think that's almost a lost cause in a sense. Like if they want to sit there and play with, you know, see what their kids are playing and sit there with them while they're watching these tournaments and stuff, that's conversation starter between them and their kid. Like, I don't need that broadcasted for everyone, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that's where I get a little concerned when it gets like mass market network TV is, are they going to go lowest common denominator with it? Or is it going to get like the MLB, the NHL, like NFL, we know you know the sport, so we're just broadcasting the sport, you know, mm-hmm. that, and it'll be interesting to see how they play it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely going to tune in on Saturday night to see what it's kind of all about. So we can be prepared for an update next week.
Yeah. That'll be perfect timing. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we can go ahead and get into what we have been playing this week. Shannon, I know that you finally got to play some Anthem.
I did, and let me tell you, I am enjoying the hell out of it. I know Robbie was talking about how it kind of felt repetitive, and you know, after the first 3 hours, you have a tendency to kind of have seen it all.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you, I am close to that 3 hour mark right now, probably a little bit over it, but like, I don't tire of flying around like Iron Man. I don't tire of blowing the hell out of like enemies that are on the ground with my super, because I chose the Ranger okay. to be my suit. So like, you know, when he opens up that the cannon on the back and just launches that salvo of missiles like that was my jam in Titanfall 2. Like, you know, so like to see that in this game and just like being able to get out of like a really tough situation when you know, by just killing a mass amounts of them with your rockets is dope. I like the seeker missiles. You know, the grenades are, you know, they're grenades. I haven't upgraded any of them yet, so I still have just the stock grenade. But
mm-hmm.
But I'm enjoying the mechanics of the game. As far as the story goes, yeah, the codexes bug me. You know, I just kind of wish that was more in the game, and it just kind of seems like they start you off after like the first couple missions, and like you come in after the first mission, the first time you get like a mission, a freelancer mission, and there's these three people that are standing over in the corner, and you walk up to them and they're like, well, thanks for saving this dude, and like, you know, I haven't seen something like this since the heart of the store or the heart of rage or whatever mm-hmm. like started. And then this dude's like, and you know, he's like, well, let me tell you the story. And I was like, whoa, like, it's supposed to be like some top secret thing, and like here you are just kind of let me fill you in here. Like, you're just like,
you're like, you look like you need some exposition. Let me
provide I know,
it.
Right? Yeah. Like, yeah, dude, like, okay, thanks for giving me all this stuff that, like, just let me shoot stuff. I just let me go back and shoot stuff. The load screens are, I could see how that can be a gripe. They take way too long to get between like the hub world and your forge and your the action areas. So yeah, I can see how that can be annoying.
And the switching out gear is ridiculous. It's just one of those things, like, why are you involving two load screens to see if I like this new weapon or not? Mm-hmm. Like, how is that not a thing I can just do?
Mm-hmm.
That was a horrible design choice. But
yeah, I hope they, I mean, I don't know if that's something that you can edit out later with like a patch or something mm-hmm. like that, but yeah, you got to find a way to get, to make it more, to make it more like jump between things quicker.
Yeah.
The fact that you can't change your weapons in the field, that sucks too. Mm-hmm. You know, if you pick something up, you should be able to equip that thing like right away. Like I couldn't even tell you when I was in the field, if I pick something up that was a weapon or not. Like, all I see are green and red things on the ground, and I just walk over to them, and I either pick them up, or it says your armor's full, and I don't pick it up. So, yeah, like, you know, totally. That's... So, I mean, there are a couple gripes, but, like, overall, like, when I'm playing that game, I'm having fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and that's all I really care about right now. Like, you know, I think, you know, I'm gonna... probably shock our viewers, because I did, you know, Kingdom Hearts, like, that game is just so, like, story heavy, and right now I don't want that. Like, it's a good game, I have fun when I play it, but it's not the game I want to go to right now. It's just, I want to play something where I can shoot, blow stuff up, feel badass, and, like, this game, like, when I'm not in a load screen, does that. So, you know, that's great. And the fact that the other thing that kind of bugs me is it always pushes you into a public group. When you're in those public groups, it just feels like everybody's already done those missions enough times. I think I'm coming in later in the game, later in the release cycle, which is fine. But the people that they pair you up with, they're like, sometimes they're really high level, and B, like, it seems to me like all they're doing is speed running to either get loot or like, you know, they need a tchotchke or something that's in that level.
Well, yeah. 'Cause people are already at the point where they've min-maxed.
Yeah.
You know, so they're just making the run and they don't really care. Like, and you're sitting there, and that's one of my major gripes at the moment is, so you're in these public groups and, you know, I it's not all something I've seen a million times. I do want to take a minute to look around every now and then, because it's very pretty world. Like, it's cool. Like, I want to explore some, and you'll just get warped ahead. Like, boom, boom, boom. And it's just like, but I was doing something. Never mind. Okay. Well, let's keep going. Like, it's a bummer in that regard.
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks when I get more time to play it. But as right now, like, from the mechanical aspect and the level playing, I'm enjoying it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, how about you?
I think it's really fun. The thing, it kills me that you can't fly and shoot, because there are so many times when it's like, why do I have to stop, now hover, now shoot? Like, the game is so infuriating because there's so many things about it I really like really, really like, but the design decisions they've made along the way is just like, what? Who? This game's been developed for like 6 years. Who at some point went like, hey guys, this way to equip stuff is garbage. Like, you can't do this. This needs to change. Or, hey, is this a first person game or a third person game? 'Cause you need to pick one. Like, why is it first person when I'm out of the suit, and in the suit it's third person? It's just one of those things that annoys the hell out of me. The hovered thing and not flying while you shoot and not being able to equip weapons in the field. And it's just all these little things. That being said, like I said last week, 6 months ago, those all could be gone away. All those complaints. Like, it is, I mean, not the first person, third person one, but there are certain decisions where, yeah, I could see them patching some of that stuff out or coming up with a fix as more people use it over time. I think I still say the bones of this game are very good. It's just, it's going to take time to get it to where it needs to be. And I think EA kind of has to get it where it needs to be. I don't think they can let this just die. I really don't.
I also have to say that I know it sounds like I'm bagging on this game a lot, but I'm not. I just think there are some critiques, and a lot of it goes back to EA's like skeeziness with money.
Yep.
Like, they start you out with 40,000 credits to, you know, do whatever you want with, which seems like a lot of money or a lot of in-game currency to do a lot of fun stuff with, you know? So you're like, oh, I could, like, you know, do a whole bunch of stuff. But then if you just want the Mass Effect sticker set for your guy, it's like 36 it's like 36,000 credits. And then if you want a helmet, it's like 15,000 credits. And so, like, you know, either you have to really kind of pick and choose, and then you don't really get a lot of credits for doing the missions. It doesn't seem like I'm making a lot of money. So it seems to me like they're really kind of pushing you down the road to buy in-game currency to get the things that you want to customize your mechs, your javelins, which I think is more of that. Just, it seems to me like it's what was that Star Wars game that they did the same thing with? I'm blanking.
Battlefront.
Yeah, Battlefront 2. Yeah. It feels like it's that all over again, but a lot more hush hush.
Like, well, it's very similar to Destiny's. Like, you can buy shaders that are now disposable. You know, like, oh, you wanted that color for your entire suit? well, I'll give you two of them, and you can go buy the other four that you need just right in the store right over here, you know?
Yeah, like, you can grind for 40 hours, you can buy it.
Yeah, yeah. That's the part of these games that is just, it's gross. It's really gross. Mm-hmm. But I do have to say, you know, I mean, they all do it. Fortnite does it, Apex does it, they all do it, and I will say you don't have to, being the thing that makes it kind of okay in my book. Like, I've never, when I was playing Destiny, I never spent money once. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I've never spent money on Fortnite. I've never, you know, like, I can play the game. The game's fine. You know, mm-hmm. like, sure, my dude's ugly, but after a while, I just kind of embrace that. Like, you know.
But that, I mean, that's a thing, too, is like with Apex and with Fortnite, those games are free out the gate, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you're not
yeah,
putting
yeah.
any money sure. into them. So, like, if sure. you want to kick some money to them for some, you know, to make your dude look like the galaxy or like whatever, mm-hmm. like, you know, that's fine. I feel you're giving, that's like a thank you for like putting out a quality game that I didn't have to pay for.
Sure.
You know, this game, like I put out like, you know, $65. So, you know, for them to kind of be like, oh yeah, here you go. But like the inflation rate's going to be so high that like, you know, the in-game currency we give you to start out with is just almost going to be like worthless.
Mm-hmm.
I have a problem with that. And I think that's just an underlying problem with a lot of these games. Like if you're putting out the, I mean, like I understand you got to make money. This goes back to everything that you've been saying for mm-hmm. a long time. So like, you know, get up on that soapbox, Zach, but, you know, it just make the games more expensive and give us the crap for free. Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's where it's at. I mean, just do it. Just make that jump, make that leap. That's what I'd like to see for the next generation, is just say that there's going to be a price hike and you're going to stop gouging everybody. Like that's what I want.
Just games are now $80.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that's just what they cost. And guess what? That's still undervalued. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, we were paying fucking $50 for Golden Axe on my Sega Genesis, you know, 30 years ago. And it's like, well, telling me the teams that are now literally 10 times the size with budgets that are 100 times the size and the game still costs $60. Something's wrong. The math doesn't work there. Yeah. Something's broken along the mm-hmm. way. And it seems like every year we find out more and more how broken it is by them charging us piecemeal for a game instead mm-hmm. of just giving us the damn thing. But yeah, no, I agree with you. It'd be nice. It'd be very nice to just see them at least just admit it, you know? Just say, like, hey, this thing's total. This business model can't exist anymore. So, you know, either just flat out be like, every game's free and we're going to charge you for everything mm-hmm. in it. Or, yeah, the game's $100. Like, just, there it is, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But who do you think would make that jump first? Like, I mean, if you're looking at like, let's say, I mean, like, I don't know. It's hard because I know, like, you would go, I mean, you have all these developers and you have mm-hmm. all these publishers, like, so it'd be hard to get them, like, behind it. But, like, if you had, like, if you had, like, one of the platforms supporting you, if you had, like, Sony, Xbox, or, like, Nintendo, like, which one do you think would be the one that would make that push first?
See, I wouldn't necessarily go platform, but I think, like, Rockstar could do it.
Yeah.
If Rockstar was just flat out, here's Grand Theft Auto 6, it's $120, and there's no and there's no microtransactions. It's the whole thing. Online's in there, everything. It's $120. Mm-hmm. You know what? It would sell 10 million copies at $120. Mm-hmm. It would. You know, just they have that cachet. I think Sony could do it if they rolled out God of War 2 and it was $100. Like, you know, there it is. It's what it costs. It's God of War 2. You know what? I'm buying God of War 2 if it costs mm-hmm. $100. I just am. Like, you know? And so I think it would take major titles. Because what we're finding now is I think there's still, you know, there's indie games, which in everyone's brain means $20 or less.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then there's like what used to be the AA game space, the lesser developers that whose games release at $60 and in 2 weeks are $30 or $40, which is where they should be, right around $30 or $40. And then there's your AAA developers that are $60 games and they stay up there for a while, ideally, you know. I mean, certain things there's been certain misses recently, mm-hmm. but you know, like, and it seems like that those tiers have kind of been the way it's kind of shaken out. And so, you know, the reality is the indie game should probably be 30 and less. The double A should probably be 30 to 60 in that range. And then triple A should probably be like 60 to 90. You know, it should be that swing. I don't know if it'll ever get there. This pricing structure is so ingrained in gaming culture, just in general. And it's going to be, I mean, it's going to take a major bang for the buck for most people to justify that. But we'll see. I mean, we'll see. Otherwise, you're going to see what we have now, which is the game gets made and then everyone gets laid off. And then the game gets made and then everyone gets laid off. And it just, the cycle continues because guess what? The company literally doesn't have the cash to keep people employed once, mm-hmm. once the game goes. So I don't know. But
Well, what else have you been playing now that we've gotten off of that soapbox?
yeah, sorry. My gaming this week, it was great. It was a lot of fun, but it was some bad games, man. So my son, who's 5, has decided he wanted to play something else other than the Lego games, because he's been playing Lego Jurassic World and the Ninjago game to death. Like, he's basically 100%ed both of them, and it's kind of awesome because he did most of that by himself. Like, when we first started playing the Lego games, it was the most frustrating experience in the world. I've talked about it before, but it's just, you just want to take the controller from him. Like, just mm-hmm. give me it. You just need to go here. Like, just push B. Like, it's saying B on the, there's a B on the controller. Just look it down and push B. Like, what is wrong with you? You know, and it just, but, you know, we all learn. We all were there when we were 5 or whatever. And now he can play those games perfect. Like, it's just, it's crazy watching how good he is at those games now. It's, you know, he's like telling other people how to play them, you know. Wow. like when his uncles come over and they want to play with him, and he's like, okay, yeah, you need to go here and run over here and grab that thing and push B and do that. And it's like, okay, like, he's just got it, you know. So he wanted there was a game that was an iOS game and now is on Xbox, which speaks to its quality, just, you know. It's called Hungry Shark World. And it's not a bad game. It's basically a time run game. You can see the phone roots of it. Like, you're a shark, you go and eat everything in the water, and then and your life meter's always running down. Everything you eat, it runs up, but there's also stuff in the world that'll attack you that takes your life down, and blah, blah. And at the end of the run, you get like XP to level up, and that unlocks items that you can equip on your shark that give you different things. There's like, it's all super cartoony. There's like rocket boosters and like pirate swords and like all this shit. Like, it's and they all give you different buffs. My son thinks it's the funnest damn thing in the world. Like, he enjoys eating people in swimming pools and finding, you know, other sharks to eat and all this stuff. And there's like 20 sharks to unlock, you know, in the thing. It's a good grinder game for a 5-year-old. But let me tell you, after about 4 hours of it, you are ready to smash your face through a plate glass window. Like, oh my God. And it's like the one theme song that never changes. You know, the dun 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 dun. dun 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 dun. It just is playing the entire time. It's just, oh my God. But the experience of playing the game has been a lot of fun. Like, just seeing him be so into it, be kind of, you know, figuring out how to do it, like wanting me to play the entire time to start. And then after an hour or so being like, well, let me have a turn. Let me try. And then like watching him do it and watching him figure out how it works and get more bold, get more confident, get all that stuff as he's playing. And it's really fun in that regard to like have those moments, share the little, you know, share the hobby, share the passion a little bit. Cause he's into it. He really likes it. And you know what? If I was 5, I'd probably think that game was rad too. There's tons of sharks. I get to eat shit. It's rad. You know, like we're cool. But it just, for me, it makes me go like, man, I can't wait for like 2 years from now when we can actually play like actual games that we both like together, you know? I just think he can play all the like brand new versions of these Mario games that have been around for like 20 years, but they'll all be new to him. You know, like he'll be into it.
Yeah, he's gonna get his he's gonna have his fun pushing you off the ledge in like Mario U like two. Oh man! Like,
hit me with blue shells? I can see it coming now.
have you like started making a list of games that you want to like try to play with him, or like things that like you know?
Not would be cool. Not really, because I don't have that. Like, I think gaming is weird in that regard. Because you know, like I don't understand the people that are like, I'm going to teach my son to play the NES first and then the Super Nintendo. And then like I did. What? Why? Like, he's not you or she's not you. Like, you grew up that way because those were the options you had. It's not like all this shit existed and it was like someone giving it to you being like, master this first. And now you need to go up to this one. Like, Unforgiven came out in 1992. And I went and saw it in the theater with my dad and was like, wow, that was really good. I like that Western. I haven't really seen a lot of Westerns. And my dad wasn't like, oh, well then, sit down. I'm going to get 1953s, you know, like blah, blah, blah. And we're watching them all in order. So you respect and understand the history of Western. Like, no, just start watching movies, you know, like just start like finding the stuff you like and do that. But video games are so weird in that regard where people feel like you have to have this sense of history to get it or something. Mm-hmm. And like, no, you don't. Like, so, I mean, are there games I think he'd like? Sure. And if he asks me about them, we can totally play them or whatever. But I mean, he's going to want the things that are new for him. You know, he's going to want, like, it's like the people that don't understand why kids like Fortnite because they don't like Fortnite. It's like, mm-hmm. Well, you're also not a kid. You know, like, I don't like Ariana Grande either, but I'm also not 18. You know, it's like, these things happen, you know? It's like,
inner 18-year-old right now is crying, just to let you know.
Sorry. I don't think you have tears left to cry.
Thank you, that's, next.
Isn't that Ariana Grande song? No tears left to cry?
I don't know. Closet me says yes, real me says no.
Dude, I've got so much of that stuff in my house these days, just like, but all the Kidz Bop versions of it, my son has figured out how to ask Alexa to play Kidz Bop and specific Kidz Bop songs. So
nice.
I just walk into the room and there is one of those songs playing randomly all the time. Like, oh man. And there are some things, even though they're Kidz Bopped up, you know, so they changed the lyrics and all that to mm-hmm. make them more appropriate. There's just some songs that, like, shouldn't be on there. Like, there's just, you know, like, Look What You Made Me Do by Taylor Swift. Like, that. There's no amount of, like, kind of making that song okay. You know, like, I don't know. It just seems weird to me, but...
I think Kidz Bop should do like, you know how like the punk albums, they have like the punk goes pop or punk goes metal. Yeah. Like, I think they should do the same thing with Kidz Bop. Like, Kidz Bop goes like metal. Just put like a whole bunch of like metal covers. Like,
yeah. Be all over that. Like a bunch of like 10-year-olds singing Metallica. Like,
yeah. You know, that'd be awesome.
Changing all the lyrics to be like non-aggro. It'd be good stuff.
Have some like 10-year-old kids singing some Nirvana songs on there. That'd be great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man.
I'm kind of on board. But yeah. No, it's just to circle back. It's a fun experience. I just wish the games were better, but that'll come. All in time, you know?
Yeah.
Also, Hungry Shark World. I mean, hey, if you got little kids, probably worth the like $4 or $5 it is on Xbox Live, but yeah, I really wouldn't pay for that one. That's it's not the best.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
No, I mean, that's really kind of been it for me. I mean, there was the new Dialga raid in Pokemon Go. We did that yesterday. We're in the car on Discord fun raid groups, and my son got one, my wife got one. I did not.
Oh.
I got a rock.
So, you got a rock?
I got a rock. Like, I got nothing. So that was a bummer. But other than that, like, no, that's been kind of it. My wife's played a ton of I played Tetris 99, but we've talked about that. I still haven't won a game. Bastards. And Yeah, a lot of my wife's still playing Let's Go Pikachu, so I watched a bunch of that this weekend, but I haven't played it.
Speaking of Pokemon, are you that new trailer dropped this week? I believe for Detective Pikachu.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
How hyped were you for the new movie trailer and movie itself coming out soon?
Oh, I'm super hyped for it. I will be there day one, providing I can get coverage for my daughter. All the extenuating circumstances. But no, my son is super, super hyped about it. I think it looks really cool. Like, I think it's really fucking weird that they, you know, made a $200 million movie based off of a video game that no one played. Like, that seems really weird to me. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of into it. I think it looks really fun. You know, they made Pikachu say hell, which is weird, but you know, get me the hell out of here. But I'm the more Pokemon they show, I like the designs. I think they work. The real world design looks really cool. Like I'm into it. I think it's, I want it to be good. I just hope it's good. Like, I hope I'm not 20 minutes in the theater being like, oh, this is one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. Which is highly possible. I mean, I'll just put it out there. Like, yeah, this movie could just suck with like 8 U's, and I would be like, yeah, all right, I saw that coming. But you know, what they're showing me is I'm on board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'm on board with what you're saying. I think the writing needs to be top notch, and I know Ryan Reynolds is really good with like that like the way he delivers his lines in like those comedic movies. So I think that a lot of it is going to rest on his shoulders and how he delivers the rest of his dialogue through that movie. Because like basically what you're seeing in that trailer is a bunch of quips and a bunch of, you know, a lot of like the glitzy glamour shots, you know, the action sequences, which I get it. Like, that's what sells movies. That's what people want to see in the trailers. They want to see the glitz and the glam. But like, what gets us from like those set pieces that they showed to you know, is what's going to carry that movie through.
Yeah.
And I hope that the writing is solid enough to make that movie enjoyable from start to finish. Because if it is, like, I would like to see a video game movie succeed, like just blow it out of the water. And this is the one that I think has the best chance.
Yeah, I think it's got a really good shot. I think it has a very decent shot of, and that's the thing, is it doesn't need to be freaking up there for an Oscar next year. It just needs to be fun. It just needs to be good. Mm-hmm. You know, something people call a guilty pleasure because it's a Pokemon movie, not because it's so bad it's good. You know, one of those things. Mm-hmm. But no, I think it's going, everything I've seen says it should be at least decent. But we will find out soon. We'll find out soon.
Yeah, May?
Yeah, it'll be May 10th, I want to say, something like that. But,
nice.
Are you doing Captain Marvel next week?
I think I'm going to see it probably Saturday night. So
okay.
I mean, I don't have any plans to go see it with anybody. I might just be floating in there and stealing a seat just to see what it's all about. But gotcha. But yeah, I definitely am hyped for that. Like, we're starting like pretty much from now until like the summer starts. There's at least one blockbuster or one big movie that I want to see every month. You know, starting with Captain Marvel, then Avengers, and then Pokemon. So yeah, the next 3 months we'll have some great entertainment for me coming up.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna try to see it Thursday night actually, just because. You know, it's funny because they started on the West Coast now. The midnight showing started 9.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where I'm like, it's a little late, but I could probably swing that. You know, but we will see. Nice. But no, I'm excited for it. I've been looking forward to this one for a while. Like, essentially since the end of Infinity War, I've been like, all right, let's bring it on. I'm down for all this comic book nerdness that I've been storing up for years. Let's do this. yeah, that's actually on my list this week, because I want to rewatch Infinity War. Man, that is one of the biggest traps, though. Like, when you get on that Netflix menu and you're just starting to go through, like, oh, what's new on Netflix? And Infinity War's there, and it's like you hover for a second. You're like, fuck, dude, if I push play, I'm committed. I'm not turning it off for 3.5 hours. We're doing this. Like, it's just,
it consumes your soul.
And the thing is, I totally want to do it. I totally want to push play, like, every time.
I've watched that movie. I bought that movie. Like, mm-hmm. I like, it was like an insta buy when it came out, and yeah. I think I've probably watched it like 10 times. So that's probably like 30 mm-hmm. hours of my, that's a full work week almost of my life that's gone, like, just yeah. to this movie.
Yeah.
No, God.
I had the same problem when Return of the King first came out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, to this day, if I'm like scrolling through fucking TBS or something and it's on TV, I'm like, well, I guess I'm canceling plans. We're sitting down watching this now. Oh, it's the siege sequence is starting. Okay, fuck, I'm in. We're doing this. Okay, get popcorn. Let's make this happen.
Well, at least, I mean, now it has some competition, right? Because Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse came out on digital this week too. So, yeah.
Yeah, I really need to buy that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I
want to watch that movie on like a loop.
Oh yeah, dude.
I love that movie so much.
That movie was so good. Like, I just I'm mad at myself that I waited so long to see it, but at the same time, it was almost a relief because I didn't have to wait that long for it to come out on digital.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
But yeah, dude, that movie, man, it got like, I could see it got its hooks in me so fast. Mm-hmm. Like, just, and the one thing that frustrates me is right now, like, none of my like iTunes stuff is like available, so there's no reason for me to really buy it digitally. Why do you have to wait 3 weeks from when it comes out digitally to when you have to come out and buy the physical copy? Like, that just blows my mind. Just release them both at the same time.
If anything, I would think it would be reversed. Like, you would need to wait to buy it digitally, like, to make people go to stores.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or something. So mm-hmm. yeah, because it's like, no, we're really gonna make it just pointless for you to have to go to Best Buy to buy this. Just you know, like, yeah,
yeah. And then, the DVD player I have right now to work with is archaic. So like, I went out and bought Ralph Breaks the Internet the other night because I wanted mm-hmm. something to play for my son, and that thing, like, wouldn't even load. It's just like, no, I'm not doing this. I can't play this level of DVD anymore. Like, so,
like, yeah, we can't. I got nothing for these pixels, homie. Like, I can't.
You want to watch a Tai Chi video that was made 20 years ago? Yeah, yeah. I got you on that one. Like,
what you know about Billy Blanks? I got you on some Billy Blanks. How about that?
Jesus. Oh my God.
Yeah.
But yeah. Oh man. Oh, that's so rough.
Yeah. But. So, So a little off topic here, though. Your long national obsession of The Masked Singer is finally over, is it?
Yeah, dude. And it ended with a bang. Like, you know, it's funny. Everybody I've gotten to at least watch one episode of this show has gotten hooked on it, with the exception of you, because your heart is made of ice. But
well, I mean, that's factual.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it this week was the last and final show for the season, and I called the winner. I didn't get it. I was kind of on the fence about who some of the other contestants were, like the B. You know, everybody called it like pretty much right away, but I was still just like, I don't know. But
who was the B?
It was Gladys Knight.
Okay.
And then the Peacock was Donny Osmond. And the monster who won it all was T-Pain. T-Pain came out there with his golden pipes and threw everybody for a loop. Nobody guessed him, but man, he didn't
like auto-tune it all up. You actually
no, like yeah, he just he, every right. everyone he went out there with, he sang. It was his voice. Like, he went out there showing people that, like, you know, he's got the talent to be out there as a singer. And I was really impressed with a lot of his songs. Not so much the last one that he did. I kind of thought he kind of like mailed it in on the last one, mm-hmm. but. You know, for the most part, he did really, really good. And I enjoy that show, so I can't wait to see what they do with the second season, you know, who they're going to get. Because a lot of the singers, a lot of the earlier contestants, like, they kind of had it right. Like, you know, there were people that were famous, but they were people that aren't known for their singing, you know, but their voices, but their voices were well established.
There was like Antonio Brown and like people like that.
Right? Yeah. And Terry Bradshaw and like, what's her name? Tori Spelling and Margaret Cho and like people like that. But like, as you got further on down the line, you know, it was like Donny Osmond and like T-Pain and Gladys Knight and LaToya Jackson. So I kind of wonder where they're going to go with the second season, if they're going to go more towards like the people that are just known as TV personalities that have a decent voice that can sing, or if they're going to go with like more like singers that, you know, actually have like talent.
That might not be in the spotlight right now, but have had hits or whatever throughout the years. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause like, you know, T-Pain
and Pittsburgh
like,
Steelers.
Obviously. Oh yeah. 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 Cause like T-Pain, like, I mean, I didn't know it, but he has a brand new album coming out. So like, you know, it kind of coincided perfectly with kind of like the whole like release of his album.
The comeback trail, the T-Pain comeback trail.
Yeah. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see where they go.
He goes by Terrence now.
Yeah, I know he's on Ellen. He's on all the shows now, so you know he's making that victory lap. Go you, T-Pain. But yeah, that's all I've been watching this week, and you know, I'm sad because now I really have nothing to watch but the Sharks.
Yeah, well, how about you? Sharks are doing all right, but so I've started last week. Starts my favorite 4 weeks of television, which is the 4 week audition process of The Voice.
And
then I stop. And then I stop watching The Voice.
I thought you were gonna say it was like the combine. And
no. Well, the combine. I mean, Jesus. Me and my friend Al this morning were. My phone was blowing up this morning, and I was like, "What is going on?" And he it's just like, "Did you see Quentin Williams 40 time?" Blah 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 blah. And I'm like, of two minds. One, it's 7 in the morning. I've got two small children climbing all over me, kind of a little hungover, and who could say, it's weird. And I'm going like, you're honestly texting me this early about like a 300-pound man's how fast he ran 40 yards. And then I went like, wait, 4.83. Holy shit. Like, he ran in a 4.83 40. He's 300 goddamn pounds. And next thing I know, I've got the combine on. I'm like reading all this stuff. I'm like, we're texting back and forth. We're going nuts over it. Like, it was like 2 hours of my morning, like, was men in shirts and shorts running. Like, my life's sad. Shit. It's sad. But no, me and my wife love watching The Voice. There's just something about the show that snags me every time until the actual competition starts, and then I stop watching The Voice every time. Hmm. Like, I make like a week or two of like them voting someone off, and I'm like, I stopped caring. Like, when it's the auditions and people are just trying to get chairs to turn and all that, it's great. It's good television. It's fun. But yeah, as soon as they turn it into an actual like competition show, I just could not care less. I don't know what happens. It's weird.
So you didn't even stay for like the battle rounds or anything like that.
I usually stay until it goes to like the live format. Once it hits the live, like, okay, call in your vote format, I'm out. Gotcha. As soon as they don't have steals and all that, like, nah, I'm done. But it's a I'd be really curious to see the numbers, like the ratings, if that's the case or not. Like, if I'm weird, or if a lot more people are like me than I would think when it comes to that, because it's just, it changes the whole dynamic of the show, like like the drama of it, I guess. But no, that's all I've been kind of doing is catching up on The Voice and watching large men run in straight lines, you know,
in spandex.
I mean. I was going to leave that part out, but you can add that if you like. It's fine.
I'm just trying to make it as awkward as possible for you, Zach. That's all.
So there's a no one cares, but there's a wide receiver, DK Metcalf, who's going to go in the first round. I got to get his measurables. He's 6'4", and I want to say he weighs like 240-something pounds. And he showed up with 1.6 body fat.
Jesus, like, Christ.
At that big. Like,
dude,
you should look up a picture of him. He's ridiculous looking. Like, he looks like he's a freaking middle linebacker. and he's a wide receiver. And he ran a 4.3 40, which if people don't know, is insanely fast. And like, especially for his size, you know, it's just one of those. Yeah. Like it's
in real life. If somebody was running at you like that, you would shit piss. And then you would be a pile. You would be a red mist cloud.
Yeah.
If
he's, hit you. he's 228 pounds and ran a 4.3 340. And also managed to bench press 225 pounds 27 times in a row without stopping.
Jesus Christ.
Like, a wide receiver. Like, what? It's just, I can't even wrap my head around it.
What video game did they pull him out of? Exactly. And put him into real life?
If you went to go create a player in Madden, he wouldn't be that good. Like, as far as measurables go. You know, like, it's just, it's insane to me.
But, oh man!
But yeah, these are this is the sad dark quarters of my life. Those are the things I love and get obsessed about.
Well, I guess we'll be sure to come back to you at the end of April and see how your Raiders did with drafting. Then, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I celebrate the draft every year. It's fun. Men in suits getting their names called. It's great. It's good times.
It is hugging their moms.
Yep. It's great. It's good drama. I love the drama. But I guess we'll wrap that up then for this week. Sorry, Robbie. Hope your flooding is getting contained and all is well on your end. But yes, I guess that is the show this week. So go ahead and follow us on Twitter if you'd like. It is ThatPixelLife on Twitter, and get on that Facebook group. Just go ahead and join that Facebook group. That's where you want to be. Just get on there. Hit me up on iTunes for some reviews. Let me know how bad I'm doing. I know I'm sucking. Just, I'm sorry, guys. I'm trying. I'm not used to hosting yet.
You're
so
too hard on yourself, good sir. You're doing fine.
That's what you say, but you have to be here. So, but yeah, hit me up for a review on iTunes. Let me know good, bad, and different. I would really appreciate it. So would Shannon. So would Robbie. We always take any and all feedback to heart. And, let us know what you think about our semi-expanded direction that we're going to go in, because we're all kind of excited about it. So hopefully next week we'll be the gang all here, and we're kind of lean into it with Captain Marvel and some other stuff. So look forward to that. And until next time, any got anything, Shannon?
No, man. You're doing a great job, and thank you to all of our loyal fans who are still listening. And I got to give a special shout out to Josh, because my week got crazy last week and I was unable to edit the show when I wanted to. And Josh was able to get tagged in real quick and polish it off for us. So, you know, thank Josh for getting that episode out. And this week it'll be my maiden voyage into editing. So please, guys, you know, just bear with us as I get better. Sucking at something is the first step to getting good at something. So so just bear with me as I get better at this. Thank you.
We all crawl before we walk back to the bar. That's how it works.
Yep.
But alrighty. Well, until next week then, everyone have a good week, and just do something nice for someone else. Have a good week.
Bye.